Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. Uh-huh. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you, especially when we had a chance to bring our good friend Joel Barker back. He's one of the top futurists of our time. I'll tell you a little bit more about him later on during our visit, but all I'll tell you is that his work and the way he just talks about the future in plain English really put my eyes to more than a generation ago, and I've been following him for a long time, and for a number of years he's been joining us on our show with some really important stuff. Hey, Joel, thanks again for being here. Good job for all the things you've been working on lately. Especially, you've been keeping up very closely with what's going on with climate change.
You better believe it. It's one of those discussions.
And this is one of the issues that you and I often debate about, not so much you reporting, as I often have an attitude or an opinion, maybe I should say, about this. But I want you, you've discovered some new information. Talk to us about it.
Well, there's two things, and one I'm actually not going to talk about, because as I dug into it deeper, there's some interesting questions that need to be answered. But they are doing some, they're getting some explanation in terms of why the CO2 numbers and the heat were not jiving. But the article that I wanted to quote today, as I was reading it through very carefully last night, has two holes in it, so I don't want to bother your listeners until I get those holes filled.
Right.
But there's another piece that I want to talk about to give people a sense of a baseline. So, you know, you and I talk about debating these things, but this isn't a debate. It's just research that's been recently done, but it gives you a sense of scale that is just breathtaking. UCLA went and studied last summer the meltwater from Greenland. I didn't know this, but and maybe you did. Iceland is the largest single chunk of ice and snow in the world. I thought Antarctica was, but it's Iceland. It's Greenland is the largest. Okay, so it will.
See, Antarctica is an actual continent. It's somebody once says Antarctica is a continent surrounded by ice, and the Arctic is ice surrounded by continents.
Yeah, that's pretty well said. But Greenland, of course, all the ice sits on land. So if it melts, it's going to raise the water level. And so that's what they were studying. But listen to these numbers just to give you a sense. I mean, it's just kind of staggering. What they said when they were measuring the outflow in just one place, this was just one-tenth of the watershed area, the outflow was 55,000 to 61,000 cubic feet per second, which is double the average rate of the Colorado River. That is in just one-tenth of Greenland. So when people say, you know, what's going on with the melt, it's pretty impressive numbers. Now, this is baseline, by the way. This isn't a comparison. We can't say 10 years ago was different. Yep.
Let me ask you a question about that. One of the things we know about that region of the planet is that they have volcanoes up there.
Yes.
And I wonder if they've I know Iceland does, but I wonder if any of the influence of the volcanoes could be contributing to that. If it could be coming from within rather than from without.
This is, I mean, they can tell if there's volcanic activity. There's no volcanic activity driving this. This is summertime glacial melt. And here's the other piece of it. They have found there are a bunch of rivers that outflow from Greenland. And when I say a bunch, 100, just measuring one of those rivers was 46,000 cubic feet per second. So think about the numbers. And here's what the concern is.
So is that, have they determined that that's more than say, it would have been 100 years ago?
No, this is baseline, Jim. This is why this is so important. They've never measured it before.
Oh.
So now we have a baseline of what's going on.
Now
right
we have
now.
A baseline. We'll come back in 10 years or whatever and see what it's like.
Exactly. We can start. We can do a comparison with data we didn't have. So in other words,
you're not saying that those numbers are high because we don't know if they're high, but now we have a baseline.
Exactly. But here's what we do know: the Gulf Stream has been stopped several times in over the last couple of million years by cold water flowing into its pathway and diverting it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of these ironies, these paradoxes of global warming. If the Gulf Stream stops, Northern Europe is going to get colder no matter what. So this is why we need to have this baseline and understand this. So the point is, we're gathering more and more data to help us understand what's going on.
Well, and I'm glad we're doing that as long as we quit saying settled science, because science by definition can't be settled.
You got it.
That's the term that bugs me the most. Settled science. Hey, Joel, hold on to that thought. We're gonna take a quick break. And by the way, folks, Joel didn't say that. I did. Quick break. 10:20 till. We'll be right back.
If you run a business, you know.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.